I can look back and think about some wonderful feasts that I've gone to. Many resort areas like Dayton, Ohio. That was, of course, the last resort, as was Detroit. I can't believe I went to my home feast site in 1980, but you know, I didn't know many people, so I didn't know of the opportunities to go places by myself. But that's where my mom was going. That's where our Detroit choir was, and I was a part of that. So, you know, we had a good feast. I can't say it was the greatest one. There is no beaches in Detroit. There's the Detroit River, but you really didn't want to jump into that. And, but you know, we're going to a lot of nice places. You know, we'll pray for this year, hope for everybody, for Orange Beach, for Myrtle Beach, that the beaches are going to be clean, that it'll be nice weather, and, that everything will go smooth. So the anticipation of all that's happening, making sure that you've got everything packed, everything ready to go, everything in order, there's just a whole lot to do. But you know, you can make this really what you want. As you go into it, I would really like to hear of such good news when people return, that in a society that's just really going so bad and so sour, that we come back and go, you know, we really had a taste of God's kingdom this year. We had great fellowship that would really add to the memories of all the feasts that we've got. And one day, just like last Sabbath, we were all here together, and now the time has come here where it's just a week later, and pretty soon, as we had heard, that eventually God's kingdom is going to be here. It's going to be a reality. The reality is, when I look at the current events of what the world's going through at this point, I shake my head in disbelief. I really can't believe we're at the point of things that are taking place within leadership, and I'm just talking about our country. I know I read a review or a news article somewhere out, I believe it's in Oregon, that they're removing all of the men's urinals because they want to make it all even. So, and it's going to cost multi-thousands upon thousands of dollars to get this done. Go into places and to take those out so it can be kind of gender specific for everybody. I just look at the craziness, and more to it happens all the time. It's just the craziest thing. We see so many of our younger kids that are falling to the drugs and the opiates and all that, that they're so strong at this point that they can't resist. They're, once you take that or whatever it is, the smoking that's done of the vaping, the seriousness of what's taking place there, it's just hard for the kids to resist this. They make it taste good. And it's just really the pulls around there. So we get more of these things that are happening all the time, and it's kind of not a very nice society to live in. You know, what makes it exciting for us, we're really looking forward to this reality of this time to come, and now God gives us an invitation to have a taste of his feast. And really, when you think about it, you can plan for this. You can make it the best one ever. We've talked about the best feast ever. In our mindset, do you want to make it that way? Is that what you would like it to have? Depending wherever you go, that's God's invitation. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 33. What will you make it this year? The best feast ever. What will you make it? In Leviticus 23 and verse 33, I believe I noticed, I think this is on the front of our bulletin this month as well. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, the 15th day of the 7th month will the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day will be a holy convocation. You will do no servile work therein. 7 days you'll offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the 8th day will be a holy convocation, and you will offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. You do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you will proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon his day, besides the Sabbaths of the Lord, besides your gifts and besides all of your vows, besides all of your free will offerings, which you give to the Lord. Also on the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you will keep a feast to the Lord 7 days. On the 1st will be a Sabbath, on the 8th will be a Sabbath. You will take upon you the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Wow, what a nice command, isn't it? What a great command. And thankfully, as we've observed this for years, as it talks about giving the offerings made by fire, we know we don't do that kind of offering. We do lots of other offerings. I know where there's plenty of offerings that are going to be offered. I saw that the list was so full now that last week we noticed we could take down the list for volunteers for Myrtle Beach because they have more than enough, it seems, anyway. So we have a lot of you that will be serving at the feast this year, doing something, and that's a free will offering as well. You can't discount that. God looks at that, and he's very pleased with that, but he commands us to rejoice. Really? We have to? You have to rejoice. You know, I really like to go into this with the rejoicing type of atmosphere, no matter what you do, that even serving, whatever it is that you might do, that it's not just a job. Maybe this year it will be an adventure, like one of our military slogans advertised. It's not just a job, it's an adventure. You know, the people that you might be able to serve, who knows what they went through? Who knows what they're dealing with? But when they see your smiling face with the ability to be able to serve, even though you might not have signed up for something, but you somehow see a need that's out there and you fill it with a big smile, huge smiles on the faces, wouldn't that be just great for everybody to see smiles all the time? No need for Mr. Frenchek's grumpiness sermon. Just all smiles. Wouldn't that be great to see that? You can start that. You can be the one with a smile. Hey, how you doing? And being prepared for this type of thing. He commands us to rejoice. And we don't have to do it in thick trees and willows of the brook. A few years back, there was somebody that actually took that literally, and they went down to Florida and they made a place like that. That they, some people took this and they had a whole park filled with these, and I think she got poison ivy. So I don't know if it was God's sense of humor or what, but I said, you know, the whole thing is the temporary dwelling. So it's really nice when we can stay in nice places, isn't it? He commands us to rejoice for 7 days, and you'll keep it a feast for 7 days. It will be a statute forever in your generations. You will celebrate it in the seventh month. That's where we are, the seventh month. First day of the month, I noticed there's that little sliver denoting there was the first of the month, and you all know when you look up at the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles, you're going to see the full moon. How interesting that God placed it there that way. Verse 43, it says that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared to the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. So interesting. Many people here have been keeping the feast for years and years. Is there anybody that kept the feast in Big Sandy, say back in the 60s? There's one here. If you hear the stories about some of these things that took place, the rain, but you would walk down, if you can't get a picture, it was called the Piney Woods, and they had rows where you would have tents and campers and things like that, and you'd walk down the road, and these are the stories that I heard because I didn't celebrate it there, but people would invite you to have meals around the campfire. Sometimes it would be raining like crazy and people still had a great time. How about Jekyll Island? Back in the 60s, anybody for Jekyll? You all remember the tent? I didn't get to experience that. My wife did. I heard some interesting stories. But, you know, when you see some of the negative things that took place, the rainstorms, and I heard that the water would be dripping down and popping the light bulbs, and or there would need to be somebody to help stabilize the tent, and everybody rallied around and fixed that and did that, and you would try to keep your feet off the ground maybe because of the water there. But they say it with a big smile. You know, interesting, the appreciation that people had when they went to the feast, even though things weren't so bright and really nice as you would want them to be, that's for sure. So I know there's some expectation I heard of the feast is going to be this way nice and the whole time. We haven't always had the great weather for the people that went to Florida a few years back, and you had the hurricane come through. That was kind of scary for some people. I know my son was out on the hotel looking out at the ocean. He goes, Dad, it's coming through, but everybody's okay here. You know, we've always seen protection for God's people, and that's what we're going to ask and not take for granted again this year as well. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 13. This was supposed to be a really enjoyable time because now the fruits of their labor, You know, for those that have ever been farmers, or even if you've grown a garden, and you had a really good garden one year and just said, look at all, you know, I've seen people have so much that they bring extra to church to share with everybody because their crop has come in so wonderful. Here is a time where the Israelites had reaped what they have sown, and they were to take that and go to the feast. Verse 13, you will observe the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days after you had gathered in your corn and your wine, and you will rejoice. Notice this. It doesn't say you'll observe the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days if you want to. You know, this is not an if you want to. This is what they call God's feasts, our commanded assemblies. This I couldn't imagine. I just cannot imagine not going to God's feast. I know I had one tell me one time because he was on kidney dialysis. He goes, it looks like I'm not going to go to the feast this year. I said, really, where are you going? He said, well, Clearwater. I'm going, why don't you call Clearwater and see if they've got dialysis down there? He did. They had dialysis and he went to the feast. So sometimes when we don't think we can figure it out, there's a way that we can figure it out, and God always can make a way to figure it out. But sometimes it's like the people that fall into some troubles maybe before the feast that they weren't expecting. And we're going to ask the brethren to rally so they can go. They want to go. So we're going to make it possible for them to go to the feast, because God says you're to go to the feast. And it says your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, and the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow that within your gates. 7 days will you keep a solemn feast. So three times here, there's a command to go up to the feast, and the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your increase and in all the works of your hands. Therefore will you surely rejoice. So it doesn't sound like we have any options there either, do we? It's like you have to go and you have to rejoice. So just resign yourself to the fact that you're going to have to rejoice. Sorry, you're going to have to go there and smile, and you're going to have to be happy. What a bummer, I say facetiously. Do you know, but you can make that happen. I remember thinking about that, at least thinking about in 2010 when we were at Lake Geneva, and I walked into the auditorium because I was choir director, so I was the first one in there. And I said, I'm going to go up and say hello to the first people I meet. And that's what I did. Hey, how you doing? And it kind of puts you in that feast mode. And imagine if somebody came up to you and just, who you didn't know, and just, wow, you know, well, thank you. And that you do that with other people that are there, people that you don't know, that you've never met before. Where are you from? Oh, you're from there. And get into conversations, and happy things will happen. Remember I think that was the show, this was some years ago, it was called The Greatest Show on Earth. I'd like to show you today how you can make this one the best feast ever. Got some points, 7 points today. Think about these before we go so we'll be prepared. First point is make it a God comes first feast. And everything that we do, I'll guarantee you, you put God first, and what's the command, what's it say in Matthew 6 verse 33? Matthew 6 verse 33, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Which part of his righteousness? The keeping of his commandments. The keeping of his law. What's he tell us to do? Go to the feast. Rejoice. You know, really, you would think, wow, these are pretty great commands. Really not that difficult in a sense. I think we make them more difficult than they are. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding. Those tests come along, just as was mentioned in the sermonette sometimes. When you go to places that are unknown, you know, when I was told a few things about Australia as opposed to New Zealand, I heard so many things in Australia can kill you. But you know what I'm figuring? We've got brethren over there. I don't think they're dumb brethren at all. I heard Australia is a very nice country, and you just have to be a little bit more careful. You go to New Zealand, nothing there, I guess, will kill you. So even go swimming off Australia, and there's the Great Barrier Reef. I don't know. You know, would I swim there? I'm not sure. I'd be listening for this music going, don't, 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 don't. That's what you would think all the time. I heard that after Steven Spielberg made the movie Jaws that he never went swimming in the ocean again. It scared him so much. But you know, sometimes you've got the unknowns. Everybody, I wonder here if anybody has never had unknowns. I'm kind of lost. Where do I go? How do I do this? How am I going to get there? And everything will be added to you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. And I've seen the fruit born out of that. And it makes you a happier person. Don't worry about it. Pray about it? Yes. You run into some trouble? Pray about it. You hear about somebody else running into trouble? Pray for them. It changes the entire attitude. It can really help make this a great feast. The carnal reasoning is, well, let's go on a vacation and maybe we'll find some time for God. You know, over the years, I think we've heard plenty of messages during these feast days to make time to get on your knees and pray for the messages that morning. Pray for everything to go well, for the services, for after. It's some time that you can give to God to get on your knees and start that seeking first. Make sure you get that time in the morning. If you're rooming with people, then you talk to them and say, I'd like to have a little bit of time that I can have some prayer time here. I'm sure that they'll respect that request and you for them. So there's ways to make that work out. It's just the planning. The converted reasoning says, let's go up first to worship God at the feast, and then we'll also have some time for some great activities. Watch the change in that. That mentality can help that to make that the best feast for you by putting God first. Make it a God comes first feast. The second is make it a sober-minded feast. Interesting how God's days are a little bit different from man's days, aren't they? You know, you come up to the point till you get to New Year's Day. You know, for this world, New Year's Day is celebrated like it's a fresh start for everybody. It's not a fresh start for a lot of people. You make New Year's resolutions, and then you go out and have too much to drink and forget what resolution that you made. It just doesn't seem, man's resolutions don't seem to last very long. Do you know, we can resolve to do some things in our life and to make changes in our life too, and make this kind of a stepping stone, a point to where now you can have time to go to God and to worship him, to put him first, and to ask him in your life to sharpen you, to help you, to help really this set the tone for the rest of the year to come. Different from the world's. That we can take this feast and say, I want to make some changes in my life. I'm going to use this Feast of Tabernacles to really get a foothold here and to really get closer to God and to really take in the excitement of this feast and what it means. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5. For Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 5, you are all sons of light, sons of the day. We are neither of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, since that's the case, since that's the truth, let us not sleep as others do. Ooh, and I know that can happen. And thankfully, I think you've got understanding speakers that are normally up there, because some will say even from mine here, even though you would choose to fall asleep during one of my sermons, I would take that to see what I could do to do a little stir up. I also know these lights bother my eyes, the fluorescence. And I know sometimes people may have had a tough week, may have been tired. But in planning for the feast, it's also important that as much time that we would like to get together with our fellow brethren, make it a time that you can get back and get a good night's rest as well. Because you know what happens, don't you, after the feast? We're doing things that we normally don't do during the year. One day after another, we're really overdoing it, maybe because we don't do that every day during the week. Then we come back here, we get tired, and a lot of people get sick. It'd be so nice to come back and be of good strength and of good health, but we've got to plan it that way. You know, as much as we would like to stay, say, you know, I'm sorry, I've got to get back, and I've got to get a good night's sleep. He says, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of love, and as helmet, the hope of salvation. Because that's what our vision is, isn't it? As we celebrate that feast to look forward of that time of peace, ushered in by his saints that will come with Jesus Christ, obviously. So let's not lose our vision of why we come to the feast. Verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians 5. Now we exhort, we encourage you, brethren, to warn those who are unruly, insubordinate, or idle. Comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Now, I really felt bad in a sense, but I had to address that at the Feast of Tabernacles one year, because I found out that some of the young people were over in the hot tub and smoking the cigars and having bottles of liquor in their hands. I said, you know, I just said, really? You come to the feast and you expect God to honor that? What are we doing here? Is it supposed to be some big party where we're showing off that we can smoke cigars if you feel like it? You know, what's that say to God when people come there to party and not to worship him? So sometimes there has to be some warnings. It says, uphold the weak. Be patient with all. Be patient with all. Don't we have those opportunities? Sometimes we see the mothers that struggle sometimes with the kids. Anybody that's had kids understands that. I can't imagine if I didn't have kids. I may not totally understand that. If you've had kids and you've gone to church or you've gone to the feast, you can definitely understand that. So what do? We pray for them and we ask them if they need any help. See that no one that renders evil for evil, but always pursue what is good for you all, for you and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God through Jesus Christ for you. So now we understand what God really wants us to do. Sober-minded. It's a time, again, wow, what a time. And I've always heard this in balance. I've appreciated this. You might have not, I don't ever really usually get liquor. But sometimes there might be that nice bottle of something that you would want to sample or try. Or maybe a more expensive bottle of wine. Or maybe a nice brand of beer that you've never gotten before. That's wonderful. That's great. You know, I certainly saw moderation within my grandfather. You know, every day, 12 o'clock, Paul Harvey, one beer. That was Grandpa. I don't think I ever saw him have more than two beers. I didn't. You know, and at night, you know, so it's all this way. At night, six golden gin dipped raisins. Six. Not five and not seven. Six. He'd point them out. And then he'd eat those. That was it. Grandpa lived to 98 years old. I think moderation did him a pretty good job. But you know, it's nice to sample. It's nice to have, but then to stop. Because we've got to worship God the next day and we want to worship him. We want to be aware of what's happening around us to see not only to find our seats, but maybe to look around us and maybe spot some seats that aren't taking. So when the usher comes down, you can say, by the way, there's two over here. What a benefit that is when everybody is helping out. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23 and verse 19. It'd be a nice feast that we would have when you didn't come to the next day to services and you're tired. And I think the church has made some good changes over the year to help out with that. Friday evening. Love Friday evening. Wow, really sets the tone of the feast, doesn't it? Love that evening. I missed that one time. Friday evening. Then you get to sleep in the next day. And it's a holy day. But you realize, and the church has realized over the years, that people have to travel. And you get to where you're going, and many are tired out. And to get to that Friday evening, and, you know, to have a short service, and then to, you can't wait to see people and to fellowship with them. Maybe go back to your room and open up a bottle of wine and share a glass of wine with them to know that, wow, I can sleep in the morning. And to be ready for those afternoon services, but to always be alert. Again, this takes some work, and it takes some preparation and practice, and it takes thought going into it as well. Proverbs 23, verse 19. Hear my son, hear my daughter, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. Do not mix with wine bibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. Here's a favorite scripture here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. So sometimes we can ask ourselves, is this pleasing to God? Whatever it might be, but it's going to take thought from your part and from your heart as well. It takes more than just faithful church attendance and more than just showing up for the feast. Really listening attentively. And I already know, too, being there just like I am among you, you know, to listen to the sermons and the sermonettes, they're all different. They're all have different ways of coming across. I still remember the one. I don't know if you remember. It's still on my mind. I want to ask him for the PowerPoint topic, but it was on not one jot or tittle given by someone over in Hickory. Mr. Burrow, I think, gave that one. You know, there are some that just highlight out there that just go, wow, this was great. And don't forget, sometimes when one might not hit you so much, maybe it's doing somebody else a good service as well, but we can always listen attentively and find out those salient points within all of the messages. And then maybe if it didn't hit you so well, then maybe you go, did I pray about this one today? Did I pray that my ears would be in tune to hear what a prepared message is supposed to be doing for me? That's always a part of that. The third point. So we make it a God comes first feast, make it a sober-minded feast. The third point is make it a giving feast. Make it a giving feast. Once again, I think I'm talking to the choir here, because I know many here have gone through a lot of Feast of Tabernacles. You know a lot of the service projects that are done. Probably when you walk into the hall, there's going to be door greeters that are going to be there. There are going to be people ready for people that can't walk too well. There's going to be wheelchairs ready. All kinds of services, mother's rooms, even fragrance-free rooms that the church has made available to understand some of the things that people go through nowadays. All those are going to be serviced by people. What can we do to help you? A giving feast. So you're kind of set into that if you've already volunteered for something. And if you haven't, maybe you've got kids and it's just not possible for you to do that, you know, in a certain year because you've got other responsibilities. But there's a lot of ways to give. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1, Philippians 2 and verse 1. You know, it'd be nice, even if you've got your notebooks, just to write these points down next to each other. Then every day, take a look at it. Take a look at these 7 points and see if we're actively doing these things. Make it a giving feast. Philippians 2 verse 1. If there's any consolation, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, if these are existing and they abound in you, the encouragement part, the comforting, the love, and the fellowship of the Spirit, the affection and mercy, if these abound in you, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but for the interests of others. And sure, when we get to the feast, you know, if you can get there early, you know, the nice thing to do, if possible, you get there early, maybe you do some grocery shopping, get everything that you need, and get ready for that opening night. That's always ideal, if that's possible. With some, it's not always possible if they've got to leave at the last minute. So if you can get yourself all set, do you know what happens? Now you can better look out for the interests of somebody else. But it takes work. Because we're always thinking about what I need. What am I going to do after? Who are we going to get? Who are we going to get together with? You know, make the plans as best as you can, but always observe what's going around you. Have the vision to do that, to see what's happening, where some help could be. Get your seats early and on time if possible. I know that's always a challenge at the feast, isn't it? I know sometimes some do the best that they can do, but sometimes some will reserve Sometimes we can resolve, I'm going to fix this year because I'm going to plan early. Somebody will go down there and go, oh, I've already got seats saved. Oh, but I already have seats saved for over here. We got a lot of seat saving all over the place to where all of a sudden services start and people come by and they pick all their stuff up when they saved them. That's a headache. That's really difficult. Let's see if we can plan on that. Let's get together. Who's sitting together today? That's going to take a little bit of work. We sitting together. Who's going to reserve the seats? That takes a lot of work, but it'll save a lot of frustration. And especially if you're going to Myrtle Beach. When you get a lot of people at one fee site, that really makes it difficult. Let's see if we can alleviate that. Again, be ready to see how many seats you've got around you, in front of you, so that you can help the ushers by pointing out, here's two seats over here that aren't taken. So it takes a lot of work, but let's work out that. So there are those that have already volunteered to serve in many ways, in ushering, mother's room, special services, choir, special music, and even bringing others to the feast. You know, God sees that. Can you imagine fulfilling just these three so far and not God blessing us with a great feast? Well, there's a few more to come. Very important one here, point four, is make it a worshiping feast. Make it a worshiping feast. I don't know if I'll be able to do this year. This year it gets a little bit more embarrassing. I don't know why. But usually when I'm on the flight and we'll be leaving Thursday morning from the Knoxville airport, I like doing a yeehaw. When we get out in that taxi out to the runway and that guy revs his engines and he starts to take, I go, I like going, yeehaw! Here we go to the feast. They may think I'm crazy, but I'll probably never meet them again. Maybe in the future, oh, you're that guy. I remember I did that one time in Jamaica. Oh, the bakers were there. I did a yeehaw. I don't know if you remember that. And there were two very proper English women that came up to me after and they said, we really liked your sermon, but you can leave the yeehaw out. But you know, in Jamaica, they do all different kinds of things. They got a different culture there as well. But you know, it preps on the rejoicing, on the being happy, doesn't it? So is it wrong to let out a yeehaw? We'll find out. Zechariah chapter 14. Maybe it'll be a kind of a quiet yeehaw. Zechariah 14, verse 16. I remember when my parents, we used to pile in the car, my brother and sister, we'd pile in the back seat. We were small enough that all of us could sleep down in that spot between the back seat and the front seat. We called it the coop. Who gets the coop? Well, you still had that hump in there too. I don't know how we got through that, how that worked out. But anyway, I always remember when you get set and you get everything ready to go and we're leaving, probably most of the time it was always to my grandparents up in the Upper Peninsula. I remember just a big smile. We're going up north for the, you know, not for the feast, for a vacation. It's just wonderful. Now we get to go to something that we've been planning for since last feast, looking at what we're going to do. Zechariah 14:16, it will come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations who came up against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it will be that whoever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. Now that always told us that this is probably going to happen, or it wouldn't say this. At least it's a strong possibility. Maybe we can warn them somehow before that even happens. Maybe we're going to be preparing these people that have come out of the tribulation, the survivors, to go, by the way, you really better be in tune and listen to what God says. If he does this, things will go good for you. Maybe we can warn them and show them the scripture. Maybe there are those for some reason that will still be stubborn in nature for whatever reason. It says there'll be no rain. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they'll have no rain. They'll receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to the Feast of Tabernacles. This will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of the nations that don't come up to the Feast of Tabernacles. That tells me once again, here's a testimony of the future, saying how important it is to go to the feast, to be there. You know what it is, I believe, for most of us here? I remember, you know, to be in this mentality. is not always the most comfortable thing, but I know when it is. I know when somebody would tell me, you're not going to go to the feast, a smile would come to my face. You don't understand. I'm going to the feast. Well, if you do, you're fired. Okay. If I don't, I'm in worse trouble. Right? This is God we're talking about. God, who says, I'm sending you an invitation. I expect you to be there. And what if we don't? Well, I've got this. Well, I've got that. Look what it says here. No rain, the plague. He says, we better come to the feast. Psalm 29, verse 1. So, you know, isn't it great in that sense? If you know, the stories I can probably hear from all of you and those times where that happens, sometimes even with your children, you know, we try to do the best that we can and say, by the way, no matter what, these kids are gone. My kids are gone. Do we have some struggles with that? Yes. Thankfully, it didn't take long before we started homeschooling and we didn't have that issue. Some still have those school issues. So it takes extra work from the parents to go, by the way, we are going, and here's what we can do. Here's what I'm requesting. You can show them that here's what we're doing. We go up to the feast. There's a lot of different cultures that they experience. It's not just going on Ferris wheels and roller coasters. You get some culture in this. What even we've done with Gabriel, we took him to France because his classmates didn't believe that he's going to go overseas. So we found some Roman ruins and other things. We took pictures so he could take him back to his classmates and go, look where I was. Look what I did. Took him to his teacher. Wow, you get some culture. They know that they're going there to get an experience, and any good teacher is going to respect that. It just takes some work and some planning sometimes. But it's really a no-brainer when you think about that. No, they're going, and I'm going, and it doesn't really matter. It's just simply a matter of how is this going to work out, and what's the outcome that God is going to present. And by the way, as I've told you before, when I said I'm going, and I was fired. But it was the best thing that ever happened to me. I got out of that place. God said, I don't want you there anymore. I want you over there for your next set of hurdles to go through. And I look back at that now and I smile because I realize God always was there. He always blessed us. He always took care of us. But he was going to be worshipped. He was going to be number one. Verse 1 of Psalm 29, give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory, do his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. What a wonderful time that we'll be together. How vibrant that is when you get into a big auditorium. I think we have 44 in Australia. It's still a nice group of people. And a little, probably a bit more in New Zealand. But whoever's going to Myrtle Beach, you're going to have over 1,000 people there. You know, and some here smile and go, that ain't nothing. Do you remember the 12,000 plus in St. Petersburg? 9,000 at Wisconsin Dells? All of you have been among those types of congregations. And you get there and it's just, wow. You can just sense God's spirit all around you. And for those of you that have been an extra day after the feast, you're kind of going, what happened to that? It's unique, isn't it? Sometimes a lot of people don't want to do that. Stay an extra day. You like to come a little bit early, but to stay an extra day can be a little tough sometimes when you're around God's Spirit for 8 days. John chapter 4 and verse 23. John chapter 4, verse 23. Oh, when you get there, get prepared, come to that opening night, get that song out, that song book out. When that song leader gets up and says, we're turning to this, then you sing with all your heart. Sing with all of your thanksgiving. It's your time to worship God, to thank him for bringing you to the feast again this year. John 4, verse 23, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those worship him must worship in spirit and truth. That's why you can feel that. That's why you can sense that. It's not the feeling like the world thinks there is, that you want to raise your hands and that all this emotion. Yes, you can be emotional, but not in the sense where you lose that. You can understand, wow, there's a quiet calmness when someone has God's spirit and the understanding that all of us have here. You know, there might be those that, you know, aren't totally there yet, but for the most part, You know, people come up to the feast, they've got God's Spirit. There's something that you can sense in that, that we all believe the same thing together. And when I come up in I-40, and it was packed again today on 26, and you can see all these people going different places and not understanding. They haven't been called yet. I'm kind of going, thank you, God, for the understanding. I get to go to the Feast of Tabernacles. I get to go to the Day of Atonement. I know all about that day, and so do you. That's kind of a little groaning in that day. I realize that. It's interesting how God has us fast before we feast. Let's get this perspective here on what's taking place. Then when you see what happens in the future, here we are, if this time is going to be fulfilled, and it's already passed, which it is, signifying this day, this is the time where Christ returns with the saints. And everything breaks loose, doesn't it? I mean, this runs rapid. So all this, there's going to be a lot of death. A lot of negative, bad things are going to happen. It has to happen. But by this time, we're spirit beings. Don't forget that. It's a good time for us. Then during the day, something's got to happen to set this thing at peace. Finally, before the Garden of Eden, up to the rebellion of Satan, he's put away. He can't touch anyone for 1,000 years. And we get to usher in peace. That has to be done before you even set into day one. The millennium is 1,000 years of peace. The war ensues before that. The fighting and the battle. But all of a sudden, you get a mess. It enters, yes, but you've got a mess. We've got a lot to restore, but we've got all the energy, all the capability. We're part of the God family now. What's God going to allow us to do on fixing this? Wow, just the little tastes of that are incredible. Can you imagine that? No more aching, no more hip joints and things. My arm is really sore. Last week, I was cutting limbs off the tree. My arm's still hurting me. This is ridiculous. No more. This is what we have to look forward to. Wow, can you rejoice? Does it take us much to really have, you have to rejoice. You have to be happy. You have to rejoice. You have to worship. These are all important parts of understanding how to have a great feast. So we must worship him in spirit and in truth. The fifth, make it a rejoicing feast. Make it a rejoicing feast. Ephesians 5, verse 17. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We went through that. What's God's will for us for the feast? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How can you be filled with the Spirit? How can one be filled with the Spirit? If you come before God with a pure heart on the Feast of Tabernacles, do you think he won't bless you? Do you come before God? What are the tools that we use? I mean, right away, you're getting a blessing when you open up your Bibles for a sermonette. When you open up your Bibles for a sermon, because you're saying, I'm willing to take in what's being offered here. I'm learning, even though you might have heard it for 40 years. It's a struggle sometimes. How do you give something different sometimes? But you realize it's always a refresher. I may have heard that, but maybe somebody gives it in a different way. With a different point, a different look at it, but it's still the truth. And you look at this and go, wow, thank you so much. With a thankful heart all the time. Thank you for allowing me to be here. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Isn't one of the best parts of a service sometimes the singing? I really enjoyed the songs. I enjoy hearing even a smaller congregation sing because it's always happy. I listened to music today all the way here. Mr. Smith gave me a little thumb drive with all kinds of music on it. That's just so inspirational. I'm driving through the mountains. I'm going, this is great. I'm not even thinking, oh, it's going to take 2.5 hours. That 2.5 hours goes by so fast, listening to music. And I finally put one on today. I hit the button and put one on, and I noticed this picture. It's a Robert Shaw song, and I told Mr. Smith, I go, that looked just like my dad. Robert Shaw, I wonder if he's a Welshman. I don't know, but it just made me smile and laugh again. God, the music aspect is so wonderful. But it's so wonderful to God when we pour our hearts. Not that you get there, okay, here we go, here's this order of service, you know, now we're thinking of, now, who are we going out with after services? Ouch. That's not going to make it the best feast ever. Physical. But remember, God said he'll add everything else to it if our hearts are into it from the very beginning. Listening. What's that prayer guy going to say? You know, there came a time in the church where people couldn't say amen anymore to the prayers. What are you listening to? What are you hearing from the prayer? Because that prayer is offered not just by that person, but on behalf of the entire congregation, which means you and I. Are we saying amen? I agree with that. I'm right behind that. We're together in this, God. And then we pour out our hearts in songs and thanksgiving. This is what God's will is for us. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, music is important. And we've had a tradition for years in the feast to open up with music, to have choirs, to have little groups of people, to have solos, to have duets, to have instrumentals, all kinds of different music. And it's not always easy as the time goes on and we change it a little bit because the trends tend to change. Is this okay? And that's not always easy. But this is a very, very important part. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Very interesting. As we listened to that last song, I just wanted to memorize that, because that would be one you're walking by the way, you just start singing and it just uplifts you. When I see some kind of transgression, I'm thinking about that, I'll start saying, forgive and you shall be forgiven. You know, it's a very different song, isn't it? But sometimes we can remember the words of those songs when we sing those. How about, you know, remember what was the original number one? I bet all any of you in the future that are in prison, think of one. Think of Psalm 1. Blessed and happy is the man. You know, it's an easy one, and that's reciting word for word the psalm. Blessed and happy is the man who does not go astray, nor with the ungodly, so you don't hang out with ungodly people. All he does prospers well. It's an easy one, but we've got so many. Worship him forever and ever, and you better watch that song later, because I've held it before, but about 1,000 people. And they just kept going. I'm standing there going, I'm supposed to be a song leader. It was a lot of fun, you know, to watch and to go through those songs. Worship him forever and ever. Never forget his wonderful works. So a lot of meaning in those songs. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Now, you could tell Paul really meant it here. Philippians chapter 4 is almost a foghorn, leghorn type version of Paul. Rejoice, I say. And again, I say rejoice. How did Paul say, how did he word that? Why did he say that? Because he really meant it. You know, Paul got into everything with his heart. And at first, he had to be changed because he was such in his heart in the wrong way. But God says, I can take this man and I can use him powerfully. Because look at how he attacks it. He is like, there he is. He's going to be there. And that's the way he became. So when he said this, he meant this. So when God says, even in the Old Testament, you go up and you rejoice. Can you imagine God chastising you because you didn't rejoice? We're supposed to be happy, but we have to get ourselves into that mindset. We've got to pray about it. If we see somebody that's unhappy, pray for them. Ask that God would uplift them. Can you imagine God answering that prayer the next time you see that person? All of a sudden, you talk to him and go, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden I had some problems, but all of a sudden I don't even care now. I'm at the feast. I want to be happy. We can be involved in changing that, looking not only for your own interests, but for the interests of others. Remember? Okay, point six. Make it a learning feast. Make it a learning feast. For parents, a feast to instruct the kids. Many different ways. You know, we've got lessons to pull from, things to help so you don't have to do it on your own. Some have a lot of abilities as teachers, but if you don't and you don't have that time, we've got a lot of different things to look at on feast lessons and maybe some feast classes even during the feast. But the kids need to be involved in what this is all about. Deuteronomy 6 verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4, you know, you look back. All of us can look back for those who've had kids and say, was I good enough with this? Did I do this? I know that we tried. But you know, when you get your kids involved with that, and those are the ones that are now, again, the importance of our camp programs, because so many I've seen come up through preteen, teen, staff, married, their own kids. And it goes by so fast. It's mind-boggling. When you see somebody that used to be 6 years old and now they're part of the staff, now they're married and being a part of the church as well. That can only come through instruction. See here, this is what it says. You got to prove it for yourselves though. Don't believe it because I said it. You got to prove it for yourselves. Want to make sure my kids knew that when they were baptized, don't do it because mom and dad are baptized. You better be convicted. You better pray about it. You better fast about it. This has got to be your choice. You've got to be convicted by it. The great ways to teach the kids. So I'll have 4 hours with my grandson tomorrow, hopefully. You know, usually we go through the Atlas. Got one of those in the car. We go through the Atlas and we talk a little bit about geography. We go through all the capitals of the different states. Then we go through Canada. Then we go through Mexico. And within that, too, I can insert, hey, by the way, are you going to have a good feast? Talk to them about that. We got into Christmas one time. Very interesting because his mom doesn't keep the feast. So he does. So it's an opportunity to teach him. And one day he'll be able to make his choice, won't he? I look forward to that because we all got to make our choice. For 13 years, I did Santa Claus. Then I got to make the choice. I'm going, wow, the difference that you can see in the Bible and the difference here. Thank you, God, for bringing me out of that and teaching me the truth. We can teach the kids. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command you this day will be in your heart, and you will teach them diligently to your children. You'll talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You'll bind them for a sign upon your hand. They will be as frontlets between your eyes, and you will write them upon the posts of your house and on your gates. In other words, your life is, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be about God. And every day when you get up, it's going to be about God. And yes, we're supposed to rejoice. We're supposed to have a great time. Golfing, whatever other activity, roller skating for the kids. All these different activities. You have a blast. But don't forget why you're there. That can be lost so quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. Second Timothy 2 verse 14. Of these put them in remembrance. Remembrance. And so many times we've heard what we're going to hear before, but so many times Israel forgot because they really weren't practicing. It really wasn't in their heart. And God knew that. Put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. So sometimes you might hear that as we have our feast sites are pretty much open. You'll see other church groups. You'll see other independents. And I've known other people to come in and start throwing off their ideas onto people. Be strong enough and even to admonish them. That's not correct. You know, you shouldn't be here preaching those kind of things. study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So again, these things can happen from time to time. I hope that they're it's very minimal, if nothing at all, if you at the Feast of Tabernacles, but I've had to deal with some of those things when somebody says, well, this is the way you keep Passover, and they do the meal. I go, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what it says. And to go to the scriptures to show, no, Christ changed those symbols. So it wasn't all about a meal. It wasn't all about a lamb and the Seder. It was about the symbols that we still do now. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. So what's the point? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. I'll sing with the Spirit, and I'll sing with the understanding also. Else, when you bless with the Spirit, how will he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing that he doesn't understand what you're saying? So during the feast, what's going to happen for those, again, that are preparing their messages, there's going to be some interpreting to this. I just went through that with the foreseeable future with Egypt. It says that. So do you think it won't happen? Well, again, that's not a salvational view for us, but it opens up the package to see even through all that we go through, there still may be that resistance, even when Satan's put away. Maybe it's that they've been used to that all their lives, and it's just a pattern of everything they're done. They're just stubborn. Maybe it's descendants of Pharaoh. Who knows? Because he always had a stubborn, rebellious heart, didn't he? So it's a possibility that these things could happen. It's something that we're going to need to watch out for. I don't know exactly how we're going to handle it, but I do believe that God will give us time and give us instruction. So we're actually going to know what we're doing. You know, I don't know how all that's going to turn out, but we've got to get instruction. We can't just say there, meet Christ in the air, return, and all of a sudden we know everything about everything. What is our plan? What's the position? What's the position you're going to hold? I have no idea. I just hope I'm there. But I do know this. We're going to be instructors and teachers and helpers and rebuilders. That's all in the plan. But you got to be there first, or none of it matters. The seventh point is make it a thankful feast. Make it a thankful feast. Psalm 69 in verse 30. Much to say about being thankful. Psalm 69 verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also will please the Lord more than an ox or bullock that has horns and hooves. See, this type of offering exceeds everything else. When God sees you and hears you pouring out your voice in thanks to him, verse 32, the humble, the depressed will see this and be glad, and your heart will live that seek God. For the Lord hears the poor, despises not his prisoners or those who are bound. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves therein, for God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The descendants also of his servants will inherit it, and they that love his name will dwell therein. After all these years of the ownership of Jerusalem going back and forth with the Turks and the Arabs and the Christians and all this mess and all the death and destruction, finally the Lord returns with his saints. Feet are set upon the Mount of Olives, and he goes, done. Nobody says, guess God goes, I own it. Actually, I want to let you know this, I always did. You thought you owned it. I've always owned it. But I really do now. It's mine, and it's for Israel. And by the way, you know who's going to be king around here? My servant David. That's going to be my king. And so that's where everything will be centered around Jerusalem at that time. And there's more to it than that as we go on. The plan of God continues on after that. Psalm 107. Psalm 107 and verse 21. Now, do you remember this song as we read it? A lot of times you'll read the Psalms and you'll remember the music to it. Oh, that man would praise their God for all he does. This is right here. His goodness for his wonderful works to the children of men. You're singing the Bible. What a joy it is that somebody has actually taken those words and put them to some really good songs. I enjoy the hymns that we've had in our hymnal. You know, we've got some difference here. Some will say, I really don't like that one as much. And that's because it's an art. So we prefer different things. And that's fine. That's okay. But there's a variety. That's why there's different variety. But all these put to music is just the most wonderful thing. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. First Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 8. This is our last scripture today. We went through 7 points pretty quick. We'll recap them really quick too, because we have to really ingrain these and think these. If we want to really have a special, it's so nice to have a really good one. We've talked about it before. Oh, I've heard the best feast ever. Yeah, but how? As was spoken out, both the messages today were how? How do you do this? Have faith. How? How do we do this? You want to have a great feast, a very special one? Just half these points will make it a better feast, but what about all of them? They're all important. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Oh, that just sparked a song. There's got to be some music to that. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. There it is. Can you imagine that? We're singing a song that goes all the way back here. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. What are the deeds that we can speak of, brethren? Sing to him. Sing songs of praise to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his most holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, his strength. Seek his face continually. It says, seek his strength. You know, I can give you 7 points. Doesn't mean they're easy. We're still physical people. We still get tired. We still get forgetful. We can go to the feast and our minds can all of a sudden start to get physical again. We start to think physically. Where I want to go? What do I want to do? Stop, take a deep breath and go, what's this all about? Do I have any concerns? What can I do about them? You pray about them. Put God first. He says all these things will be added to you. It'll be okay. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. And I just, as soon as I read that verse, I smiled because I remember when I was fired and I saw his wondrous works. Because the first thing you would think of when you're fired is, woe is me. What am I going to do now? And God said, let me show you. Just follow me. So it is a matter of faith, and it's a matter of putting that into practice. So if you can remember back to those times that you've gone through, the times where God's delivered you, do you remember the green sticker times? When somebody was over on the side of the road, they had a green sticker, you automatically stopped. You're going to help somebody out. You know, so I remember those good times, those wondrous times as well. And thank God for that. I always have been able for so many years to come to his feast. And now we get to do it again. Remember his marvelous works, what he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O you descendants of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God, and his judgments are in all the earth. Let's back up. Make it a thankful feast. The sixth, make it a learning feast. Make it a rejoicing feast. Make it a worshiping feast. Make it a giving feast. Make it a sober-minded feast. Make it a God comes first feast. And I can't wait to hear your stories and to share mine after the feast. Have a wonderful Day of Atonement. Have a wonderful Feast of Tabernacles. May God bless you with peace and safety and the best feast ever.